and shows the letters to work with you.
And
I'm thankful to each of you on behalf of Nancy and I. You are not just a congregation to us, you are friends and brothers and sisters. So, this is the word of the Lord. Part 2. Last month, we looked at walking in His will. Walking in His will and to suffer rather than to sin. And so, as we look at that, I want us to be certain that I'm not saying we should suffer for our sins. What we ought to do is suffer rather than sin. So we should avoid sinning at all costs. I also recognize we will fail at that. But we should try. And we should ask God for strength and power. This is last week, but it should say last month. This one verse, it talks about arming yourself like an army shield. Like a, to protect yourself, arm yourself, have this in your mind. And that's where, since Jesus suffered, we ought to just have that same mindset and avoid sin at all costs. When it says you have ceased from sin, you break the patterns with God's resurrection power in Jesus Christ. And you must ask God for that power. That way we will not continually practice those errors. This week we're looking at what it means to fervently love others. And a fervent love is not just a fiery passion, it's a commitment to love others. And Peter is concerned with the behavior of the church. And behaviors that could hurt and destroy the church. So he's giving this command to correct and protect them. So this scripture is above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. The underlying words here, fervent in your love for one another. Let's just think about that for a moment. Love covers the breakdowns that we experience.
Oh.
the breakdowns would be the miscommunications. The things that we sometimes do that upset others. Sometimes we say things and we're misunderstood. Sometimes we forget to include all, sometimes we forget to be more considerate when we share. And for myself, I'm just lazy sometimes. And I don't work hard enough at my communication. And that can cause a problem. Fervent love, it persists regardless of difficulty. I want us to think about the word persist. Something that persists reminds me of a little dog that bites your pant leg and won't let go. A bite on there, and no matter what you do, he won't let go. We must avoid miscommunications because don't let wrongs done within the Christian community boil over and make a mess. Don't let wrong done within the Christian community boil over and make a mess. When I cook, I make a mess. Nancy is a wonderful cook. But I like to do the dishes. Even when there's a mess. As a pastor, sometimes I have to kind of clean up the mess. I think it's better not to make the mess to begin with. I know you're probably thinking that makes total sense. We never make a mess like that. But there are times when we leave something undone, we forget to say something, we forget to communicate, or we are misunderstood. So regardless of how messy things get, this kind of fervent love doesn't give up. This love endures everything. And is long-suffering right to the very end. Love that persists, it never ever stops. So when someone in the community hurts another, when they hurt one another in word or in deed, a person who is under the control of fervent godly love, acts as though nothing has happened. How can you do that? Do you just pretend that it didn't happen? No. This is something where you have to receive from God. Love endures everything. Have you ever retaliated for when your feelings are hurt? Sorry to use that word, but I couldn't think of a better word. But we often do that. We get back at one another. When something is done wrong for us, we get back at someone else. And maybe we don't get back at them, but we just shut down. When you see that person, you avoid them. When they communicate to you, you don't get back to them. Because your feelings are hurt. And sometimes that's because your heart hurts. And sometimes it's because the devil is at work. So we should protect the body, the community, as much as we can. The fervent love, it interrupts that downward spiral. Downward spiral, but things going down the drain. Things are getting worse and worse. So perfect love breaks that. Perfect love, it stops it in its tracks. And it keeps you from acting on those hard feelings and doing wrong to others. This is not just a personal discipline that we need. This is power we need from God. Because He can turn something that's going down and turn it around and make it get much better. But we have to guard our heart and guard our thoughts. When we sense there's something between us, we need to act on that. I would ask the Lord, Lord, help me, something's wrong. One of the best things you can do is pray with that other person. Because you can't pray to God when you have something wrong with your brother or sister. God's Holy Spirit won't let that go easy. He'll speak to you in that moment and help you have clarification of spirit up. So we should make love the controlling principle in our daily lives. I want to share an illustration about my dad. He's 97 years old. And he has not been a Christian. But the Lord has been working in his life. We talk on the phone every Monday night. He lives down in Florida.
Okay.
And he's had medical issues that have been very, very bad. So my family and friends have been praying for him. Specifically that he would get the help that he specifically needed. But his medical care is through the Veterans Administration. It's very inefficient. He has waited 2 years to get a medical procedure done. He's been so discouraged he wanted to die. But he knew we were praying for him. And we were praying specifically that he could have that procedure. And the surgeon told him, we will have the surgery. He made the appointment. And then for no reason, the surgeon canceled it. My dad was super sad after that. So we kept praying. The next week, he says, a miracle happened. The same surgeon said, I will do it. He made the appointment, and the surgery was last Wednesday. The surgery was last Wednesday. And it was a huge success. Through all of this, my dad said, because of your prayers, I've come over to your team. Coming to your team means he came over to our side, believing in God. So I asked him, Dad, you're following God? And he said, yes. And I said, well, God has a name. Oh, I know. He said, I'm praying to him every day. And I said, God has a name. His name is Jesus. So he said, I've been talking to him all day long. And I've been thanking him for what he's done. Then he said, this is so amazing. He's never talked this way. Our entire life, he's never talked. I've been a Christian for 40 years. And hearing these words come out of my dad is unbelievable. So I said, so you're talking to Jesus every day? He said, yes, and I figured it out. I said, figured what out? And this is from my dad. He said, we must love one another. That's a miracle. So, thinking, how do we apply this scripture method today? The fervent love helps us stay together. And then serving one another takes it the next step. We're not only healed, but now we can grow. The scriptures say, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This special gift is an enablement of the Spirit of God. And it's an empowerment. It's a gift. The gift is a special enablement from the Holy Spirit. So, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. So, if you're preaching or teaching, you say, this is what God says, and you can say that. And be certain it is the word of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So we employ his gifts to win people to Jesus. To win people to Jesus, to build them in the Lord, and then send them to others so they can hear the good news. And then Peter says, so that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So God receives all the glory that is in him. When we work in our gifts, God receives the glory. When I think of each of you, how you serve and work in the church, we love the spirit that you serve for God's glory, not your own. We love your spirit that you serve for God's glory and not so you own God's glory. There is a joyful humility in this congregation. And so, how do we serve one another? I've got an idea. There's something coming up July 22nd. And I'm going to show you some pictures from some things Nancy and I have done before. Oh, they didn't come up. Oh, well. I can describe them. They are the Westwood Baptist Church Gymnasium, full of kids wearing court shirts.
Okay, I wish you would put something in the youth line,
And we are coaching them playing soccer and basketball. And running and playing games. And we're eating snacks that are really neat. And we're learning Bible verses every single day and singing songs. And all of it is to help children come to know Jesus. So, in a moment we'll have an announcement about this, but I want to tell you just a little bit more. We need the whole church to help serve in this. Because the leaders who are working directly with the children, they will be exhausted by the end of the first day. So we need lots of people to hold them up. By the second day, they're really tired. By the third day, they're out of their mind. By the fourth day, they recovered somehow and they're depending totally on God. And by the fifth day, there is a beautiful celebration of all that God has done. Some of you would like to be right in the middle of it. We need you to come and play with the kids with us. And for some people to help make the snacks. And some to help Nancy with the arts and crafts. And some to help with the technology. Some to help with registration, filling out registration. Daily checking the kids in, checking the kids out. Some of you who are super friendly just to greet the parents as they drop off the kids. We want them to feel so much love in this place, they come early to get here. We're going to be singing songs and raising this roof. And we are running and playing and having a blast in the name of Jesus. But this is also spiritual warfare. We need those who are walking the area just praying. We pray before we start. We pray during the day. We pray for the facilities at night. We pray for the children and leaders' hearts as they're working together. We're praying that God would pull away the clouds so people understand Jesus loves them. And it is truly spiritual warfare when it comes to these kids. Because if we can plant the seed of Jesus in their hearts early, God can spare them so much pain in this world.
Is simply into coming to hope for the
look at this list.